Healings where people come and they have not been born again. We are not saying they have to be born again to be healed. But we are saying that the revelation of Jehovah Rapha is tied up to Jehovah Seeking. And when a person is healed, even without coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, whether the person is born again or not born again, if there's something in the soul, like for example, unforgiveness, do you know that it prevents the healing power from flowing? But where it's an open heart, it just flows through. Easily. The virtue of God just flows through our lives. Easily. So a people who come into an atmosphere where believers are rejoicing in God, and there's an atmosphere of righteousness, because they enter into that and they can receive freely too without being born again. But Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Sekinu are two names of God that are revealed together. They are not separated at all. See, these people in verse 3 have a partial revelation. John 9, verse 3. Verse 2 and 3. They said, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither sinned. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. But that the works of God might be revealed in him. Now notice, in John, looking here, at the Gospel of John, chapter 5. This man who was 38 years old, who has had that sickness for 38 years. It's not 38 years old. That's a long time, in verse 5. Because that would mean he was born with that sickness. Now in John chapter 5, this person was healed. And he had an infirmity for 38 years. Look at verse 14. When Jesus found him, Jesus said, see, you have been made well. Now look at verse 14 carefully. Sin no more. You see Jesus telling him that? In other words, Jesus said, I want you to keep the healing. Jesus said, sin no more. Then what did Jesus say? This is John 5, have you seen it? Verse 14. Lest a worse thing come upon you. Now, isn't Jesus saying that the open door for sicknesses is the same door that lets in sin? Now, it may not be personal sin or the sin of the parents, but somewhere along the line, we know that it all came in when Adam sinned. Could be the sin that was in Adam. And when God brings forth the revelation of Jehovah Rapha, He brings the revelation of Jehovah Sekinu. They are both found in the I Am the Light of the World. That's what the Gospel of John brings forth. Now let's look at the next I Am in chapter 10, verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. And each revelation brings forth something different. I am the Good Shepherd, Jehovah Ra'a, the Lord my Shepherd. What is the revelation for the Lord our Shepherd bring to our life? Why does God reveal Himself as our Shepherd? The purpose is declared here in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Then notice here, in speaking about the door, in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The revelation of Jesus being our shepherd is that we would hear His voice. We would hear His voice. We will enter into Him and He into us. We would hear His voice speaking to us. The revelation of Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sikeno, is His impartation. The revelation of Jesus being, I am the bread of life, is to meet our needs. Here, He wants to lead us. He wants to draw us into things and places He wants us to go. Jehovah Ra'a, Jesus our Shepherd. Chapter 11, Jesus declares in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. There is an overcoming power that Jesus gives. And of all the greatest enemies of men, the greatest enemy is death. I am the resurrection and the life. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my overcomer, the Lord my victory. And here's a revelation in chapter 11, how it takes place. Again, it ties back to the declaration and the confession. As Jesus declared to Martha, and we know the story, Martha and Mary were there, and Lazarus, they were good friends of Jesus. Lazarus had died, and Martha and Mary came, and there was Martha. Martha said in verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And in verse 23, Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Then verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on it at the last day. Now the problem here with Martha and Mary, Martha here, was that when Jesus came, she said, it's too late. She tried to relegate Jesus, that he should have been here. The past. Then Jesus said he will rise again. Now he relegates Jesus' ability to the future. But Jesus wants to relegate to the present. And says, yes, if he had been there, he could have healed. In the future, he could raise him from the dead. But Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. It's in the present tense. I am now here. I am the resurrection and the life. Can overcome it. And verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And then we have the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. Now, I don't want to make light of the fact that Jesus may have felt the emotions of sorrow and may have wept and cried. But we don't want to miss out on the revelation here in the word groan in the spirit. You see, the normal Greek word for groan is the word stenazo, which is found in Romans 8. And the word stenazo has to do with sorrow and a groaning that comes. That's the actual word for groan. This word here, groan, is not the normal word for groan. In fact, it's never translated groan at all, usually. The reason they translated it groan was because it would look very funny if they had translated it the way they translated it in Matthew and Mark. The word here, groan, in verse 33, is the word embrimaomai, E-M-B-R-I-M-A-O-M-A-I, which is not translated groan. Strictly speaking, it is translated in Mark chapter 1 verse 43. Let's look at Mark 1:43. Mark 1 verse 43. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. In some translations, it says, and he charged him, and he commanded him, and he instructed him strictly, sternly. The word has a sternness to it. strictly, sternly he charged him. Now that also is the same word that is found in the same translation, same cross reference in Matthew 9:38, when he charged the person, he instructed the person. That is embrimeomai. You could see how difficult the translators had when they had to translate this word in this context, because it will look funny. Here everybody is crying and Jesus was charged up. Everybody was tender and soft and weeping. And then if they put and when he saw them all weeping, he was stern in his spirit. You could see that there is a difficult time to translate. And so we could understand that it is a reasonable translation when they put groan. And we're not making light of it, that he had tears and he was weeping. But Jesus was experiencing Jehovah Nissi. When Jehovah Nissi comes into your life, you have an unearthly boldness. Strength that was in his life, that was coming into him, like, you know, when he was commanding this man not to tell everybody about the miracle he received, because Jesus would not be able to enter the towns. And he was strictly charging this man. He was commanding this man. So there was this commanding sense that came into his spirit. This sternness that came on his inside, and yet on his outside there were tears flowing. I've seen very few cases of this, but there's a particular case where a mother was fighting for the life of the child. And the child was left to die of a certain ailment and sickness. And everybody was sad, and she was sad, and there was no natural cure any longer. She was given the words that there was no human cure left. If she could get all the money in the world, they still could not do anything. And as the tears flowed down from her eyes, something took place. A revelation dawned on her. They say, this is not God. This is the devil. And in the midst of her crying and weeping, I saw it taking place myself, she started being angry at the devil. She was not angry at people around her, not angry at anyone. You know, when some people couldn't get results, they find someone to put their anger on. But this woman knew that everybody had done their best. And she was angry at the devil. And she started saying out loud, devil, you can't take my child! And she started scolding the devil for the first time in her life. What did she do with the devil before that? Nothing. But she got angry at the devil, and while she was crying, because there is a sort of natural sadness, yet the authority rise, and the end result of that testimony was the child was eventually healed. Now, this is something of what I believe, what Jesus experienced. There's all this sorrow around here, and you know how catchy it is. I mean, if you go into a house and somebody started crying, and then that person started crying, and everybody started crying, it's catchy. You also start crying. And yet, on the inside, there was Jehovah Nissi coming out. There was embrimeomai. Jesus was being charged up. He felt a sternness in his spirit coming. As he walked towards Lazarus' tomb, he was just building. There was Jehovah Nissi coming out. Oh my, there was this exousia building up in his life. He was in a sense becoming angry at the enemy and the devil. And many people have theorized why Jesus wept. I heard many sermons on that. Why did Jesus cry?